Warning, the following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Thank you, Duke. That is right. You are listening to Chili Dippers. I'm your host, Luke Disco Clark. And joining me, as always, is a man who turned 46 over the weekend, David Cannon-Rolson. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. That's one of the more pleasant, not dropping me into a into trouble type things. But even I also managed to get my Facebook happy birthdays back down to zero. A few years ago, when Facebook started, I was 000. Then the last year or two, it got up to three or four people saying happy birthday to me on Facebook, but I was back down to zero this year, so I was very happy with that.
Very good. Well, I must admit, I don't normally do the Facebook happy birthday, anything more, especially like close friends, or more of a text or a call arena. How did you celebrate it? Were you caught on a table somewhere with your shirt off, swinging around your head on at a nightclub at 3 a.m.?
How did I celebrate it? I don't think I left the house. I watched movies and listened to podcasts all day. I didn't do anything at all.
So you didn't go. You didn't go get any pizza from Pizza Hut down the road.
No, well, I'm banned from that. So I had to make me. I think I had some bread, cheese, and salami, and made my own mini pizzas. And other than that, I think I had a box of Maltesers. But no, mate, I did incredibly. Someone asked me, I said, oh, no, look, when I go to Queensland next week for my golf trip with me mate, I'll be doing me. I'll go out for a birthday celebration then. But
I was just about to say that. Well, when we hit Queensland, we'll do a little birthday dinner at some stage there just to make up for the weekend.
Yeah, but you know, 46 is very, very old, and
you're nearly getting into
very, very little.
You're nearly getting into the gonna have to start shooting your age territory.
Well, for nine holes, I tell you what, I am looking forward to. I do a bit of real estate shopping, as you know. I'm keen on my real estate, and I'm always looking around. And so I'll be looking at houses, and all of a sudden, a house will be like $200,000 or $300,000 cheaper than all the other ones I'm looking at, and think, gee, this is good value, and it'll be in an over-50s village. And I think, you beauty, I'm not far away from being able to move into an over-50s village and be the young man on campus, so that'll be great.
I can't wait to visit you at that thing.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I'm allowed to have under 50 village visitors, so you might have to wait a bit. But,
you'll truly get to be known as the village idiot then.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of over 50s, under 50s, I only found out yesterday, which I'm actually going to enter, there's the Black Bull August 24 and 25, I think it is, here at Black Bull and Yarrawonga, having a two-day tournament where it's the Mid-Amateurs Masters event.
What's that mean?
So it's you've just got to be between 30 and 55, a bit like the Masters games we went and played.
Yes, yep, yep.
It's a two-day golf tournament. I think there's a cutoff for the handicap. It's I think it's 19 or something like that. But I was thinking that's a good little two-day.
So it's still
event.
A proper handicap event, though, but you just got to be 19 or better and in that age group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I just saw that when you were speaking about the age thing. I thought I only found that out last night. So I was.
Now you're speaking of Black Bull. I've seen two little things on our Instagram thing. One, a comment from the Matador. Two, a shot into the fog there, the cool photo into the fog.
That was a great photo.
You weren't teeing off till about 10 o'clock. You get off early enough to play in the fog, did you?
No, when we went over there, the fog was okay. And then we went out and we were just about to tee off. And Adam sort of said to me, he goes, geez, that fog's coming back in. And it came back, you could not see. And that was the Matador's second shot that he was playing there. And I had to literally just point him in the direction he was hitting.
Yeah.
Hit the second shot, and then we went up to the right-hand side of the – because we started on the 7th, and the 7th of the 3rd sort of meet in the middle of two fairways.
Yes, yep.
I went – after the Matador played his shot, we went over the other side of the fairway to where Eon and Adam were, and there was another guy coming down the third who wasn't a local. And I heard the Matador call me over, and he said, "Oh, this bloke wants to know where's the pin for the third." And I pointed him in the direction. I said, "Right, you can sort of see, you know, there's, because after you play the third, you go through the the bull ring sort of entrance."
Yeah, yep.
And you could just see that. And I pointed that out, and he goes, "Oh my god!" He goes, "I was gonna hit it that way." And he pointed like literally right angles to where the green was, which would have just been out of bounds. Like, and yeah, that, and then, but within 30 seconds after that photo was, or that conversation, it cleared up again. Like, it just came in for the start of that hole.
How did yourself and the Matador go?
The Matador was up and about early, as you would expect. Sort of didn't have his best round. So it was the Black Bull Cup, Gold Cup, so you get 9 mulligans throughout the round.
Yes.
Yeah, which is good
for you. Great idea.
Yeah. I ended up actually winning the tournament.
Really?
Yes.
Your score should be a bit lower than usual with the 9 mulligans. So did you have a score?
Yeah, I did. I actually didn't. It's hard when you're playing to know how well you're playing because you're hitting those bad shots. So you feel like you're playing well, but then because they're not counting. And being so it was stroke off the black too, which I didn't realise. Oh. I knew it was stroke, but not off the black. That makes it a bit tougher. And a few holes in, I ran into one of the locals here, and he asked me how I was going, and I sort of like done the old, "I'm not too sure." And he was saying, "Oh, I had me money on you, Lukey. I thought, you know, your money's riding on you to win this." Then when I sort of started finishing, I started adding them up, and I had an 81 off the stick. That's with the 9 mulligans.
With 9 mulligans, so 9 over, but with 9 mulligans. Yeah, that's cool.
And so the handicap off the blacks, I'm off 14, but with a slope, I'm off 17. So that brought me back into a 64, which was enough to win by a couple of strokes. But it was funny, I didn't think I'd played well enough. Like when I won that was the Black Bull Challenge, which is the last Sunday of every month. The last month's one, I won that as well. I shot that off the stick without any mulligans. But in saying that, the Suda, the greenskeeper who's acting head greenskeeper in the minute, he was saying he deliberately set all the pins up into the hardest spots he could find, sort of thing, and off the black. So,
and off the black. Did you use your mulligans well?
I absolutely did. Yeah, that was the thing. Every time I used one, if I hit one out of bounds, I smashed the next one, or if I missed the putt, I made the putt. And I wanted to. The thing was, we finished the round on the index one, the last, that really long par four, the par four inside the bull ring.
Yep.
And I wanted to save my mulligans for the bull ring because of the last three holes we played. With 6 holes to go, I'd use my second last one. I thought, I'm in trouble here. I'm playing okay, but I'm going to lose my last one. Then I'm just going to have a 9 and I'm out.
Yep.
But then I went birdie, bogey, par, par, par.
Wow.
To get in there. And then yeah, so I had 1 mulligan for the last hole, which I didn't use overly wisely. I probably should have reused on a chip in, but anyway, I made the putt after missing the first one. So yeah, all in all, got the win.
Oh, that's great. I was gonna say, you could win and lose that tournament on your use of your mulligans.
Which I think I did. Yeah, I think that is the case. Yeah, I actually used them wisely.
That's good. All right. Now, what about some real golf talk? What were the golf incidents or news of the week?
Well, you would be well aware we were tagged on, both of us were tagged in something on Facebook by, who was it, Fixer?
Yep.
And there's a little incident at the Travellers Championship, the TPC River Highlands, where Zach Johnson, who we all know, it was the par 4 third hole, and he had an 18-foot birdie putt that he putted, and it come to within, like, a bee's dick of dropping into the hole. Like, it literally defied gravity, sat on the edge of the hole. So he's walked up. He's counted 10 seconds, like, visually with his fingers so everyone could see. Counted 10 seconds.
Because some people may not know, when your ball's hovering over the edge of the green, you're allowed to take your time to walk to the hole, then you've got 10 seconds to wait for it to drop in, then you have to play your shot.
That's correct. So, yeah, so rule 16-2 actually says, a player is allowed enough time to reach the hole without unreasonable delay and an additional 10 seconds to determine whether the ball is at rest. Now, it's those last couple of words that are probably the most important to determine at rest. So he's walked up, given it the 10 seconds, thought, yep, that ball's coming to rest, put his putter down, didn't take a stroke, put his putter down, lifted it up out of the road, and the ball's dropped in.
Yeah, he said when he put his putter down, he said he could see the ball start to move again, so he can't hit it because you can't hit a moving ball.
That's correct, yes. Unlike then it's gone in,
In my book, that's a three.
So in the end, they've actually so the ball's fallen into the hole. They've called the officials over. The officials at the time of play, they discussed it. So they put it back up, putted it in just in case, so they could make the ruling at a later stage. But in the end, he actually got hit with a par. So they counted the ball being at rest.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's a. It's obviously a little bit stiff.
Put it this way. If me and you were playing, and that was my ball sitting there, I'm writing three on my card.
Oh, all day. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'd even let you write three. That's how much I think. Yeah, I'd even let you have a three for that.
Yeah, but this is my thing, though, with what I get about it. It's the part where the rule says they're allowed enough time to reach the hole without a reason. What happens if he hit a hybrid from 200 metres out?
Yeah, well, yep.
So even if he was in a cart, that ball, he wouldn't have even known it come to a rest or didn't come to rest. By the time he got there, just be in the hole, and he'd be like, oh, beautiful, three. Yeah. But because it was a putt, all of a sudden he's...
And also, too, what if he putted it and it was genuinely 3 or 4 inches from the hole, right? And then a big wind blew up and blew it in.
Yeah. I mean,
so it had it and stopped. He'd walked up. He'd even let someone else putt. He might have, because then you're not, because the time to walk to the hole in the 10 seconds wouldn't even have been in play.
Exactly.
Something might have happened, like a bird might have ran into a lady sitting at the edge of the crowd, so they were watching that. And then the wind blows the ball into the hole. I bet they haven't got that in the rule book, but yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, and the thing is, and what a lot of people don't love watching that clip, they don't say that he was one shot off the lead. that birdie putt was for a share of the lead.
Oh, wow.
He took it pretty well, really.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I've seen him talking to the official walking down the next fairway, and he did take it really well. Better than other people I could imagine on the golf course. So, all right. So, with that, I've got a few other rules that I want to discuss with you, because you're the rules expert, and I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, I know plenty of them. Go.
All right. So, we're playing, and we've got our bags on just pool buggies. If I hit my ball into your bag, that's a two-shot penalty to you or me. I think it's to you, isn't it?
Second, so you've hit your ball into my bag.
Yeah.
Jeez. I think it's a penalty to me.
Yeah, it is, right? So, but the problem with that is, right, say we're playing in a comp and I couldn't win, but I don't like you, so I don't want you to win. I just keep smashing it into your bag all day.
You could.
That would be outrageous. That would probably get someone upset, I would imagine.
And I'm running around the fairway dodging them.
Right. So that is the case, though. So if I hit the ball into your bag, that's a penalty to you. And the same, what if I hit it into your cart, your drive? What's the thing you drive in called, a buggy?
Car.
What if I hit it into the, you've parked next to the green and your bag's on that and I hit the ball into that. Is that a penalty to you?
I think it'd have to be this. Are you hitting it into the cart or to my bag that's on the cart?
Yeah, no, your bag is on the cart, but I just hit the cart.
I guess for some strange reason that it's... Hang on, let me be clear. I'm not the rules expert. I'm going to guess that it's not... Because have you looked this up? Do you know the answer?
No, shit. Oh, no. Shit. Have I looked it up? No, I have not.
God. Well, that changes my answer. Because I was reading you rather than the rule book here.
No, don't read me. I got no idea.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes. I was going to suggest that it's not a penalty, and that's why you're asking me the question. But now, because you legitimately have no idea, I want to say that is a penalty.
Sorry, the bag one I do have an idea on. When the bag's in the cart, I don't.
Yeah. What? Okay, let me just interrupt, because this actually happened while we were playing.
All right.
We laid the flag down,
yeah.
And someone shout out to Eon Scott, had his putt, missed the hole, and was going towards, now was it the flag? It might have even been one of Adam's golf clubs. And Adam went sort of running over there to scoop up whatever it was so the ball didn't hit it. It never ended up hitting it. But we'll discuss in there who's the – I think it was Adam's club because, yeah, he sat his club down.
Yeah, because sometimes you lay your wedge down that you've brought up with you. Mm. Got your putter. Yeah, so what if you hit – I reckon if you hit Adam's club, it's a penalty to Adam, even if you've putted it.
Well, that's what I kind of thought. Adam thought the other way around, which is fair enough because it could go either way.
Yeah.
I kind of thought, well, geez, he shouldn't really be dealing with a club on the green. I want to write these down. We'll look these up and we may answer these at one stage.
Yeah, all right. So – now, if we're both on the green and we haven't marked our ball, and I putt into your ball.
Oh, so we're both on the green.
Yeah, we're both on the green. I've putted. You didn't mark your ball because you're lazy. I putt and hit your ball.
Oh, jeez.
Penalty to me or you?
No
penalty and just put them back where they should go.
I reckon that's a penalty. Because a lot of times you ask the person, do they want it marked?
Yeah.
So that would make me believe that the penalty's on them if it hits, because if it's on you, you just mark it and get out of the road just because there's no way you want a penalty.
Yeah. Because it's not – say you're on the green and I'm off the green and I chip on and hit your ball. That's just – you put your ball back and my ball ends up where it ends up.
That's exactly right, yeah. Because with that, there's actually – I don't know if you – there's a bit going around at the minute where a lot of the pros are actually deliberately doing that. Like, leave if their ball's behind the pin, for instance, there's no – like, you can't say to the person, do you want me to leave that there as a backboard? But you can actually just leave it there. And it's this unwritten rule where a lot of the Fowlers and the JTs that are sort of buddies – doing a little bit of helping each other out in the golf course. So that's 100% right.
Right. So say we've both hit our drive. I've hit mine up the left, you've hit yours up the right. So we're a fair way apart, but we're both hitting 5-iron into the green. We both hit and they hit midair, like in the, what happens then? That's just play on and bad luck?
Yeah, I don't know. That I actually don't know. It should be play on and bad luck.
Say we're playing holes that run parallel with each other and I tee off and hit a slice and the guy on the next hole tee off and he also hits a slice, so our balls smash into each other and we're in different groups.
Yeah, I reckon that is bad luck.
That's just bad luck and play on?
Yeah, I am writing these down, by the way, as you're writing these down. We probably could have looked these up before the podcast.
You would think so. If, say, you had a drink bottle, or like you say you have a Gatorade, and I put the Gatorade next to the green and you hit that, that's got to be the same as a club and the bag and all the same rule.
Yeah, so that's why I reckon it's a penalty to the person, because you could drop one club here and one club there, a drink bottle here, you could put your hat over here, and all of a sudden there's no room for anyone to hit on there. Surely that's not a penalty to them.
Yeah, that's a penalty to the person who's left the thing there.
I think, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as the rules expert on this show.
Yep, all right, good. And is there, I know we talked about it the other day, with the snake, is there an animal rule? Because did you see the other day your boy Ram, a few tournaments ago, was playing next to the dam and the crocodile stuck its head out of the water, but he still played with one foot in the water because his ball was right next to it, even though we could see a crocodile in the water. So there's no free hit if they've got a killer crocodile next to you. That's just bad luck.
Hey, I actually didn't see that, which I don't know how I missed that one. Well, obviously not.
Because in the local tournament in Yarrawonga, if there's a snake, you get a free drop away from the snake. Is that a real rule or is that just being sensible?
I don't think that's a real rule, no.
All right, so you don't get a free drop from the snake?
No, I'm pretty sure you made that rule up at Jubilee one day.
I may have, because, see, now I've just thought of it. You could pretend to be – there would be people as scared of sparrows as I are of snakes.
Yeah.
So you could say, I'm scared of this sparrow and drop your ball wherever you want if it was a free rule.
Yeah, yeah, unless there's a specific –
there's a genuine animal category on how scary it has to be.
Yeah, yep.
This bloke shouldn't have had to play next to the crocodile.
No, I agree.
Yeah. But he did, and he must have. It must be a penalty. So
because what? Because you can't. Because there's a time, which is goes back to that. The ball rest, like Zach Johnson's ball rest, and it's all about speed of play. You can't just say stand there until it. You know, hopefully it drops because they could wait an hour.
But
with the crocodile, you can't. You can't say, well, we're suspending play until the crocodile goes somewhere.
Well, the thing is, too, because you can't see under the surface of the water because it's brown dam water. Because you can see one crocodile. And he was, say, 20 feet away, doesn't mean there's not a crocodile 1 foot away under the water right next to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, what are we doing playing? What are we doing? You see those clips on Facebook where those massive crocodiles are walking across the fairway. Yep. What are we doing playing golf anywhere near that?
Yeah, exactly. That's insanity. So, yeah, well, so that's what I'm getting. Is there a crocodile? And in South Africa, they play that tournament where the lions walk down the fairways.
That's worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, is there a dangerous animal rule that we need to actually find that out?
You know, we probably should have done. We probably should have called each other, had this conversation, looked all this stuff up,
got some answers,
and then recorded a podcast.
No answers. But yeah, we do. We might have to have an answers podcast at some stage.
Yeah. All right. So let's. Well, we probably should have opened this with, as people, you'd be well aware by now, we're 20 minutes in. We're not doing a course review because, again, we haven't played one for a while, but we are going away in a couple of weeks to Queensland, or a week and a half now. It's creeping up.
Oh, yeah, I leave in a week. I leave next Wednesday.
Yeah, Friday week is me. So we'll probably have a couple of weeks off next Wednesday.
Sorry to interrupt there. I had a look at Sunshine Coast weather.
Yes,
and the, you know, when you do that into Google and it has about 8 or 9 days,
mm-hmm.
and it was 8 or 9 days of clouds and rain.
Oh no!
But oh no! But 8 or 9 days gets us to the Friday that we get there, and then from the Friday on, sunshine the whole way.
Good. I like when it's rain leading up, because just out of law of averages means you're probably going to get better sunny days.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to probably have a couple of weeks off, and then we're going to go up there, play some golf, record a couple of pods, and we'll come back and we'll bring them out as usual. So hence, we're not doing any actual golf course review now. We're just doing a little, just a pod to fill in this week so the listeners don't go podless.
All right, and with that, we had some viewer questions to discuss.
Welcome to Question Time.
So we had a lengthy viewer question from Fixer, our good mate over at the Cut of Your Jib. I've been I still listen to the Cut of Your Jib all the time. Those boys have improved out of, not that they needed improving, they've really got tight and good, and because they do two shows a week, those boys.
Yeah, I know.
Which, geez, we struggle with one. We're trying to cut, but they do two a week. And just the reps they're getting in there, they've really got it down pat now, the boys over at the Cut of Your Jib.
Do you want me to read the question out, or do you want to
read it out? I can't.
All right. Well, like Ross said, it's a lengthy question, so we appreciate the time Fixer has gone into writing this. So I'm going to read this out.
It was on the back of us discussing the superhero movies last week. And he tied that into golf, and he wanted to know how the superheroes would go at golf, and he had a bit of a take on it, and that's sort of what he wrote in, wasn't it?
Yep, that's it. So I'll read this out. Apologise for the bad reading now. So Fixers wrote in and said, "Hey, gentlemen, love the pod. I know how you love your golf and love your movies. On the back of your discussion last week, I've decided to propose an event and ask your opinions on determining a winner of this said event. The event is called the Boyhood Superhero Cup. It is made up of a collection of boyhood heroes, remembering that in Wangaratta, we only had 4 TV channels growing up.
4? Jeez, he's much. I only had 3 growing up. He got an extra one in.
And these superheroes are competing in a golf tournament. I've listed the field, handicaps, and a short bio on each participant, and I ask for your independent perusal to find an appropriate winner. Cheers, Fix." So that's the synopsis.
All right, yep. All right.
And so these are the actual participants of the Boyhood Superhero Cup. So playing off scratch is Superman.
Superman's off scratch, yep. Yeah, well, that's it there.
Yep, his odds are $4.50, which I see some value in.
So he's set a market as well for us.
Yep, he set a market, yep. So this is Superman's bio. Long and straight off the tee, Superman also has telescopic and microscopic vision, which should be of great assistance. Superman could survive indefinitely without food, water, or rest due to the yellow sun's radiation sustaining him, which puts a great advantage over one of your particular co-hosts of this show.
Oh, so he's had a crack at me there that I can't go 2 minutes without food and drink.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. It's not a survivor tournament. It's just a golf tournament. You're allowed to have a banana and a Gatorade.
Or a Mars bar. And a... All right. Okay, so the second participant is Batman, who plays off two.
Oh, yep.
Yep, and so he's $7 to win the tournament. Unlike most superheroes, Batman does not possess any superpowers. Rather, he relies on his genius, intellect, physical prowess, intimidation, and indomitable will.
Ooh, yep.
Would fancy his chances to be there when the whips are cracking on the fourth day.
Yeah, I do. I like Batman.
Yep, all right. So now, there we go, a little with throwing a curveball. We've got Wonder Woman, who plays off... It's got an emoji with this... glasses on. I think that might be
affinity.
And she's at 15-1. Okay, so Wonder Woman generally plays on the women's tour where she has great success. She gets an opportunity in this event to mix it with the boys. Great athletically and will present in outstanding physical condition. She loves a scrap, and Batman once called her the best melee fighter in the world.
Did he just?
He did.
Yeah, gee, back on the movie side of that, Gal Gadot is a superstar. She just kills it. She looks like a superhero amongst superheroes when she comes out in those movies.
Yeah, she is good. Have you seen the new Tomb Raider? Oh, anyway, no, forget that. We'll move on. So that's one of them. Okay, so Robin, who plays off 13 and is at 25-1. He struggles to gain respect he deserves after being dubbed the Boy Wonder. Huge junior career, but yet to be a player against the big boys.
Well, funnily, that respect thing, as soon as you mentioned him, I sort of chuckled because I didn't respect him. So, yeah, he's spot on there.
Yep. And now this, I like how he's gone on a different angle here. Donatello. Ooh.
Donatello
plays off 10, 25-1. Slightly biased by me in regards to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but realistically, it's like choosing Joel Selwood from the Selwood family of four. Got into golf on the back of swinging his bow staff and has picked the game up very quickly. Heaps of upside. He's smart and can manufacture stuff at will. I like that, boy. That's good. Did you have a favorite Ninja Turtle?
No, mate, Ninja Turtles, I was past it when Ninja Turtles come out. Didn't get into them at all.
Yeah, I ride hard for Raphael. But I understand him picking Donatello here because of the bow. Like, he swings the bow. It's a bit more like a golf stick. Okay, so we've got Flash, who plays off 20, who's 50-1.
Oh, gee.
Yep, traditionally rushes his round and hopes to get his opponent uncomfortable by waiting at his ball shortly after hitting it. Sometimes this tactic works at his local course, but these players shouldn't be falling for that sort of carry-on.
Yeah, good. That's good bio. Yeah, that's spot on.
Two more. Spider-Man plays off 18. He's 100-1, Spider-Man.
Oh, gee.
Doesn't have the necessary skill set to make an impact at this level. Solid, but might struggle in this field.
Yeah, fair enough. He's said nothing that can be easily argued with or torn down at the moment. Fixes is all over this.
Yeah, hence why we're reading this out. Like I said, just the fact he's gone to this much trouble. So the last one is Aquaman, who plays off 36. And he's 200-1.
Yeah.
All right. Is really only a chance if it was played at his home course of Lost City Golf Course, Sun City, South Africa, which is a course designed and built by South African golf superstar Gary Player, which has 28,000 square metres of water features.
Of course, yes.
Righto, so they're the participants. That's all of them. So we've got all the information. So who, David Ralston, do you think is going to win the Boyhood Superhero Cup?
Look, Superman's the winner, obviously, as in, he, as we just said, he wrecks everything. But so take him out. I like Batman, but I got Aquaman as an outsider. I seen Aquaman the other day, and I liked how he went about his business. He's the under at those odds. I'm all over Aquaman.
Okay, okay. Look, I agree with you. Because Fix has gone put so much time into this, I want to give a lengthy answer, but I just think it's obvious Superman is the one. He just far superior to all the others in nearly every aspect. So I just think his golf game would be pretty tidy. I'm looking at Spider-Man at 100 to 1, and especially when he plays off 18 and flashes off 20, and he's at 50 to 1. So Spider-Man's my outsider.
Yeah, right. No worries. Yep. All right. But look, yeah, I said, I don't think the winners are the highlight. The thing of Fixers putting together of the tournament was what that was about. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Shout out to you, Fix. Thank you for that.
All right. You got anything else, mate?
No, not really. I reckon we could nearly end the podcast here. I'm just looking forward to our trip. Really looking forward to Lynx Hope Island, to be honest, and Topgolf. I can't wait to get to Topgolf.
Yeah, you're right there too. I am too. Speaking of trips, though, our good friend from Macau wrote me a letter during the week. How old am I? Sent me a text message, and he was asking, when are we coming to do the Macau-Manila-Vietnam tour that he wants to take us on?
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah, he also did have a go at me. I keep saying me instead of my. Like me golf clubs and me tournament and I had me lunch. Got to start saying my.
I've been getting some criticism about saying me and Dave instead of Dave and I. So I've been trying to correct that scenario.
All right. Yep. Yeah. So if you start pulling me up if I say my instead of me.
Okay. And
or me instead of my. I can't even remember which way around it is now. But no, he said he'd been catching up on the shows. He'd just listened to our show where the top four was crazy names.
Okay, yeah.
In his office at one stage, he said, what happens is a lot of the agents try and give themselves Anglo-Saxon names and they mix it up and get it wrong. He said he worked with three girls in the office and the names were Sweet, Creamy, and Milk.
Oh, if you had to put that, I was going to say surely their nicknames. And if it wasn't coming from the great man himself, Chops, I almost wouldn't believe it.
Yep. No, look, he had a list of other names as well, too. The thing that other people, and they were all mad and stupid as well. But no, I thought, imagine being in an office with Sweet Creamy Milk. That's fantastic.
Creamy's the best name there. Creamy's a fantastic name.
Yep. but yeah, so shout out to Chops, and we'll try and improve our diction and grammar.
All right. Okay. Well, speaking of Creamy, you got any...
what?
Any last final words?
No, I have not.
All right. Well, thank you for listening once again. Like I said, we're going to go on a 2-week break now. We're going to come back with some more content. Until then, we will hand it over to Hornsby in the Reins, and I will see you in Queensland Rolls.
See you soon, mate. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Chili Dippers out.
Strong, but I feel no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, but the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Jeff Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. With a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash, take another good hit, try to make it last. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm chair boys yelling at the TV. 20 boys in a row, and I'm getting shirts. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. We'll be right back.
speaking of movies, have you've seen Tomb Raider, haven't you?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, look, it was okay. It helped because she was just real easy to watch.
Oh, yeah, wasn't she?
It was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Oh,
it was
exactly
the same.
Yeah. She wasn't the world's greatest actress by all means. But you know what I don't get about those movies? These tombs that have been hidden under rocks for like hundreds of millions of years, and they discover them and they press a button on the wall that somehow still works and activates some mechanical door that self-opens and all of a sudden they're in them. How does that door still work after all that time?
Yeah, oh, mate, old world craftsmanship, mate. They built things right back in the day.
If I went overseas for a month, come back, I don't reckon my garage roller door would open.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, but that's, I suppose, if you build it out of stone, out of a one-ton stone, and it's a pretty heavy...
What's powering the door to open, though? When they press the
counterweighted, mate. Counterweight and lever-weighted sort of thing. Yeah, gravity. Gravity will never let you down, mate. She's always working.
Yeah, fair enough. And speaking of movies...
I'm with you, obviously.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I was playing devil's advocate.
And do you reckon there is anywhere in the world something like that where there's some maze up in, like...
if it was going to be anywhere, it would have been the pyramids. And the pyramids have secret rooms, but they don't have magic doors and all that sort of stuff. They just have hidden rooms.
Oh, that's a shame. Speaking of... Also, did you see who's...